Welcome to the Better Doctor Project podcast, where we link healthcare providers of all specialties to help us grow and learn from each other to be that much better for our patients. We sit down and talk about the fun things, the big and bright ideas, and we go over tons of practice tips and occasionally cover some pretty scandalous topics. Join us every episode to keep growing to become the best provider you can be. Let's get started. Guys, you're going to love this episode. I have never seen patient communication for a new patient visit better explained anywhere else. This should honestly be in every single clinical training program. Dr. Jeff Langmaid is our guest today, and he is a chiropractor, podcaster, and entrepreneur. He has two of the best podcasts in the world when it comes to musculoskeletal health and chiropractic. They're called The Evidence-Based Chiropractor and The Smart Chiropractor. If you have not heard an episode of either one, make sure you check it out ASAP. He's going to be sharing today his previous training when it comes to the AIDET formula. That's AIDET, the AIDET formula, which dissects exactly how to nail the communication when it comes to a perfect first office visit. The end results, number one, most importantly, better patient satisfaction. And number two, better conversion rates and therefore better practice revenue. Let's learn more. Dr. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are going to talk about a really cool communication formula that you actually introduced me to, and I can't wait to introduce it to our listeners. So thanks for joining us tonight.
I'm pumped. I think this, hopefully we get some information out there to help patient experience, something that I learned clinically. I used it every day. So I'm jazzed to talk about it. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks. It's kind of the name of the game when it comes to Better Doctor Project. We're always searching for ways we can improve that communication strategy and ultimately give better patient care. And this formula intrigued me from the minute you brought it up. The acronym is AIDET. So first off, entire acronym stand for, what does it entail? I want you to kind of just tell me everything that you've learned about it so far.
That's a great question. So AIDET stands for acknowledge, introduce, duration, explanation, and transition or thank you. So each one is an acronym, obviously. So basically what that is it's how to go about a patient interaction in a way that puts people at ease, that helps you communicate. And let me peel it back a little bit. I think everybody, including myself, it's like you go to a new doctor. It's like super intimidating. I think we take it for granted because it's like, well, we know what we're doing. But everybody that's there, they don't know what you're doing. Like even if they've been to another chiropractor, they have no clue. Like I've been dealing with dental issues. Like it's stressful. Like, you know, you don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know who's doing what. You don't know the process. That is brutal. And so if you want to think about it in a business terms, a confused mind never buys. That's just the facts. Like if you're confused about something, it's impossible to make a good decision. But you take it one step beyond that. That's like the foundation. But the real benefit of it is patient experience. Meaning if you can put people at ease, if they understand what's going on, and if you build rapport and connection with them, they're going to have a better result with the care that you deliver. There's just no question about it. So AIDET is a formula that I learned at sort of one of the large multidisciplinary groups that I was practicing with. They were an out-of-network provider doing minimally invasive outpatient surgery that came into the tune many procedures in the tens of thousands of dollars. And it was basically cash, you know, out of pocket. So there was an exceptional amount of importance placed upon patient experience because that's a tall ask, right? That's not a $50 copay, and surgery is life-changing and all these other things. But it doesn't matter whether it's an expensive service, whether it's an inexpensive service. The bottom line is the acronym and the process, as we can kind of break down, is all about helping people feel at ease so that they have a great experience and that also they're able to get the best benefits from the care that you're delivering. And that starts with communication and it starts with relationship building. So that's the goal of what it's supposed to facilitate.
I love it, which should technically be all of our goals as healthcare providers. So I kind of wanted to play a game with it and honestly take letter by letter and kind of, in your mind, give us an example of a way we can do each one well and possibly maybe where we can kind of fall short and how we can kind of bounce back from that. So the first one would be acknowledge. So what's a really good way we can attack that head on and do really, really well with that?
Yep. Acknowledge is about the other person, not you. So acknowledge is all about acknowledging the person in front of you by name and then getting heart to heart with them. So in the true essence of this, it would be if the patient's seated, you would walk in and sit before you start talking. If they are standing, you would stand, but you don't look down at them and you don't look up at them. You get heart to heart, like literally in the, you know, horizontal plane. It's the essence of it. You know, so, you know, eye to eye, heart to heart with them is really where you want to be. And the acknowledge is them by name. And here's a key, any care partner they have with them, you should know the first name of. So, you know, saying something like, you know, hey, hi, Rebecca, I'm so glad you're here. And Annabelle, it's great to see you as well. You know, so acknowledging the people by name, number one, that just sort of, you should know this stuff, right? You know, like your front desk staff should be in tune with, if you have a new patient, predominantly this is for new patients, right? So if you've seen the person before, I hope you know who they are, but you know, when, you know, this is for, especially for new patients or patients that maybe haven't seen in a while, just being in tune with that. And probably the one area where most people would fall short, that's not that hard, right? To acknowledge somebody by name. But the two challenges I find that many docs have is the heart-to-heart component. It's natural in the busyness of things. Somebody's sitting down, you walk in and introduce yourself as you're standing and they're sitting. And then they might stand or you might sit, you know, and it's, the conversation's already began, where you really want to get heart-to-heart before you say that first word, which is almost a little awkward and weird when you first try to do it. But there's power in that. And the second piece that docs fall short commonly is by not knowing the care partner. That could be, you know, a spouse, it could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, it could be a partner, you know, whoever it is, knowing the name of the other person is like, you know, like 99% of people fall short with that. And that's a big area of opportunity, because quite often if they have them with, they're with them, it's because they're looking for that approval from that person. They're a decision maker in some capacity. So building that rapport with that individual is a great thing to do.
Well, and I think that is just an easy way to set yourself apart from other providers, you know, like that person, that mother, father, cousin, brother, whomever that's sitting with them at that visit, when you take the time to introduce yourself to them, get their name and just kind of make that connection, you know, maybe they've been elsewhere and never had that happen before at any other healthcare visit. You know, that immediately puts you, you know, in a different position. It gives them more comfort. They have more trust in you. In general, they're just more satisfied with their care. So I love that. The next one, introduce.
Yeah. So introduce, now it's about you. So, you know, introduce it, pretty self-explanatory, just introduce yourself and your role or your position. That's the important key part of that. So, you know, my name's Dr. Jeff, you know, I'm a consult physician. I'm the clinic owner. I'm a consult physician. I'm a chiropractor, you know, however you identify, but letting them know exactly who you are, not only by name, but also by position or role. And there's one thing I want to say as a little bit of an aside here. I think most of us as chiropractors don't have any issue introducing ourselves. A lot of people know who we are. But the interesting part about this is this goes across your whole team. So your team should be doing this in addition to you, right? You know, so, you know, when somebody interacts at the front desk, are they speaking to an office manager? Are they speaking to a chiropractic assistant? Who are they speaking to? The introduction is not only about name. That's the easy part. Where most docs fall short, to answer the second part of the question, is or where most team members more than docs fall short, is the role and position. And that's not about power. It's about understanding who am I speaking with. You know, and again, this is about setting the stage for a great patient experience and kicking it off nicely. So acknowledge, now we're building on it, right? You acknowledge the person, whoever they're with, heart to heart. Now you're introducing yourself and letting them know your role within the organization or the visit, however you want to define it.
Yeah. And to kind of give an anecdote, I actually have recently fallen short with this one myself, and I didn't realize it because, you know, in general, I feel like communication is one of my strengths. But when I looked at this formula for the first time, it made me realize that now more than ever, I have fallen short and realized it since switching to part-time and transitioning into my maternity leave. Because toward the end of my time at the office before I deliver this baby, of course, I've had to explain a little bit more things to patients about the other providers in my office. So it's more than me just saying, hi, I'm Dr. Deo. Now it's okay, I'm one of the three doctors of chiropractic. I'm one of the three chiropractors here. You know, Dr. Danielle and Dr. Hartman are here too. And I'm kind of giving them more information than I ever have before. But when I looked at this formula, I kind of took a step back and I was like, maybe that should be the norm. Maybe I should be telling people, one, what my position is, and that there are other people who can help them here too. And it just made perfect sense.
There you go. I agree.
Love it.
You also touched earlier about how scary it can be to come into a doctor's office, especially if it's your first time seeing a chiropractor in this example. And one of the things I love about the first two parts of this is that it really reminds our patients too that we are human also, like that heart-to-heart body language communication that we will display with that acknowledge step, but also just that's what you would do when you met someone at a coffee shop or in a restaurant or wherever. If you happen to be in a waiting room, you know, pre-COVID times when they had waiting rooms, and you were sitting right next to someone and you're strike up a conversation and you would ask them about themselves and you would find out who they are and who the other person is sitting at the table. It's just natural. And sometimes I think it's easy to forget that when you walk into a doctor-patient scenario. And it just really brings you so close to them. And then what's nice is not too close, because you are able to then go ahead and, like you said, introduce yourself and set the stage for, hey, I am the physician. So now we're going to kind of shift gears and focus on your health, right? Because this is what I'm qualified to do. And this is how I'm going to be here to help you today. It's why you're here, right? So I really love that, because it just, there are so many times I think that I hear from patients that they sort of set their doctors apart, right? Like as if they're not human, whether it's above or wherever they're placing them in their sort of mental hierarchy. But I think sometimes it's easy to forget that doctors are people too. And those are the ones that have the best bedside manner, right? Really make patients feel comfortable. And I think end up helping us do a better job as doctors, because they share more with you and we get a better picture of that person as a whole.
So, well said. Could not agree more.
And it's all about setting that expectation, right? That expectation for whatever they're going to experience. And that's why I think, Dr. Beck, what you were talking about you're sharing with them who's in your home, right? Our office is our home. So you're sharing who all the other doctors are. Now they feel comfortable. They're not like, what's behind that door, right? They know who everyone is and the role that they play too as a patient, which is really neat. So I know we talk on BDP all the time about setting expectations. And so I think this next step is probably going to help us with that too. Can you tell us a little bit about duration?
Yeah, duration is just, it's leading into exactly self-explanatory, right? How long is this going to take? And again, example, like 2 weeks ago, I'm at the dentist, and this is like bringing back, I'm having like, you know, PTSD here talking about the dentist a couple of weeks ago. I've been dealing with like all these issues, but you know, I have to go back and do something else. And I end up having to ask, like, how long is that going to take? And now it's like, I feel like weird. Like, I'm like, I'm not trying to like pressure you. Like, but how long am I going to be here? Cause I got stuff going. I should never have to ask that question, nor should your pay. Like, and bring it back to chiropractic, like, no one has any idea. Like, you know, maybe they've been to a chiropractor that they like laid face down, the chiropractor came in, like, you know, crunched them and walked out the door. And maybe they also went to a doc where they spent like an hour and a half doing rehab. The doc only saw two patients. And, you know, it's like, you know, the doc was actually maybe struggling and lazy about their time, right? The two opposite ends of the spectrum here. And setting that whether it is 2 minutes or whether it is an hour and a half is no concern of mine. The biggest concern is your patients, as you're building this trust and rapport, need to know how long that engagement is going to take. And not to the moment or to the minute, but is this about 15 minutes? Is it an hour? How long can I or should I expect to be here? And another key component of this is then it's about subdividing that time. So in other words, you might say something like, you know, today you're going to be with me for around 15 minutes, and then you'll be with Jessica for 20 minutes doing your rehab exercises, right? So you want to subdivide it, and so they can figure out the total time, obviously. But people have no idea and no concept, and that is stressful. And you also that also leads the opportunity for them to speak up if they have something. And now at the end, it's not like this awkward forced thing. You know, it's like, just, you know, set the expectation on duration, and it solves a heck of a lot of problems from a mental fatigue standpoint for both parties, the patient and you and your staff, for sure.
Well, it sounds so simple, but like we as providers automatically know most durations or estimates in our head. And sometimes it's easy to assume that our patients should just magically know that too. But in reality, why would they? Why would they know? It's our job to keep them in the loop. It's our job to make sure they have those expectations laid out from the get-go.
And docs are like weird. I found like docs are weird at like are being too short or too long, which makes no sense. Like, you know, some docs that are like, you know, and believe me, there's some that are like, you're going to be here for 45 seconds. Like, and I have no problem saying that, right? But like, I don't know, like the first practice that I practiced in, I think it was a great practice. We booked patients in like 10-minute intervals. Like we weren't doing a ton of rehab. So it was like in office. So that was like plenty of time. Like, but some docs I feel like are like self-conscious of like, well, if I say too short, are they not going to see the value in what I'm doing? Right. Which is that value and time is nonlinear. It's, you know, in the absence of value, price is the only concern. There's nothing to say of time there. It's always about value. So, and time is an irrelevant factor with that. It's a very loose relative. Let's put it that way. And on the other side, docs get concerned. It's like, well, I don't want to tell them they're going to have to be here an hour. Like we're going to go through an exam, then we're going to do rehab, and then I'm going to have to do soft tissue work, and I don't want them to get in and do this, and I don't want to scare them. Like they're going to find out one way or the other, and the whole process is stressful. And different things might take a different amount of time. Like the first time they come in, it might take an hour. The second time, it might be 15 minutes, or vice versa. Yeah. So let people know and set that expectation. It's almost, it will always do you more good than harm. Yes, maybe one time a year, somebody will question the amount of time that you're spending with them. That's actually a great indication of that's a symptom of a bigger problem. No, that's a symptom of they don't understand the process and the value that you're bringing. So they're defaulting to time as a value indicator rather than expertise, trust, guidance, all of those things that we're trying to do a great job with.
I feel like that falls under the umbrella of the difference between just time as a finite object and then perceived time, which is what ADIT seems like it's completely geared towards, right? You're changing the value so that really the amount of time, whatever you end up setting it at, doesn't matter as long as the value for the patient is there, because their perceived time is great. I mean, like I've definitely had conversations with people that it feels like we had 45 minutes because we covered so much ground. But really it was 4 minutes, right? Yep. That we spent with that person. Or, you know, I cannot spend time with a patient for 10 minutes and it might feel like 20. And there are other patients I spend 30 minutes and I feel like we got two things done, right? Like it's all different.
Absolutely. So next up is E for explanation. What about that one?
Yeah. Explanation is letting people know what you're going to do. So I'll use the example of what I would do when I was, you know, doing sort of consults and MRI reviews at the surgical center. You know, I'd go through the first steps, but then I'd say, hey, over the next 20 minutes, we're going to accomplish three things. We're going to take a look. I'm going to learn about what's going on with you and make sure that, you know, insert medical assistant's name here, has everything documented and I know exactly what's going on with you. The second thing we're going to do is take a look at your pictures. I'd always have the MRIs in this case, in this, you know, setting of a clinical setting. We're going to take a look at your pictures. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I see and what the challenges are. We're going to separate the problems from the not perfects. And then step number three, I'm going to give you my best interpretation of what you can do next to get on the road to relief. If that's here, awesome. I'm going to let you know exactly what we can do. If it's somewhere else, I'll happily tell you that. So I basically would set the exact stage for, okay, like here's the amount of time. Mm-hmm. Now here's like the X amount of things that we're going to do, you know, during that time. So for instance, in a chiropractic setting, if it was a new patient, I might say something to the effect of, you know, over the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to accomplish three things. I want to go through a really great case history. I want to know exactly what brought you into the office, how it's affecting your life, more importantly, in your history. So I can then do the second step, which is we'll go through an examination. The examination takes about 10 minutes, and that gives me a really good indication clinically as far as what the challenges that you explained to me during your history are. And then, you know, number three, my recommendations are going to be based on two things: my findings and your goals. So, you know, step number three is we're going to create and craft that plan. I'm going to let you know exactly, you know, where you should be and what we can do if we can help you here. Does that sound good? Yeah, great. Okay, cool. And then off to the races you go. But breaking things down in simple, you know, sort of bite-sized pieces, it just makes it so much easier from a patient perspective. And one thing that I've found as well, this is just a little bit of an aside, but obviously I've done this a few times in terms of explaining it, but I've found myself continually be more casual as time goes on. I feel like when I, like my first couple years in practice, I was like, it's like the Tin Man or something, I'm like trying to go through stuff. And it was like, you know, and it's just, it's bizarre to me because like, I don't know, you know, sometimes people view me as being like the serious, you know, like the serious guy or something like that. Or I don't know, but I don't know. Like as time goes on, the more casual that I approached things, the better it was always. Now, that doesn't mean that I was being, you know, crossing the line with any patients, but right. it does mean that, like, you know, as you brought up earlier, it's just like, I don't know, like, I'm just talking to somebody here. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, you know, and the better that that vibe was, you know, 99 out of 100 times, it would, I think, work out in my favor. Meaning, I think I got a great history and really understood what was going on. I think they understood what was going on with them. And then we were able to sort of agree on a plan moving forward. And I don't know, I just found that to be just a little bit of a tip, I guess. I would say it's not being unprofessional, but it's being more human, more casual, more like, hey, we're doing a thing here. Like, you know, and it's, you know, there's not magic. I'm just going to, you know, like tell you, I'm going to ask you, you know, it's like a kindergarten cop, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. I want it answered immediately. It's like, you know, it's just, I'm going to ask you something. You're going to tell me, and then I'm going to tell you what I think about it. Like, it's, you know, so it doesn't have to be overly complicated as well.
Agreed.
I feel like that's regional too. You know, I do a lot of legislative work, so does Dr. Beck, with the American Chiropractic Association. And I will never forget my first year doing some legislative work in Washington. And I lobbied with some folks from Florida, like you, Dr. Jeff, and like myself, and then also some folks from Tennessee. It was an astounding difference. The ones from Florida, he led the charge. Boom, boom, boom. He's from New York, by the way. So he lives in South Florida. Boom, boom, boom. Here's point one, two, three. Okay. Didn't want to waste any more of your time, Senator. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Right. And that was it, because that was the jargon. People were used to him, and that was the groove. And it wasn't abrupt. It didn't feel harsh, because that was the tone for that regional area. Right. And then I went to Tennessee, and it was like, how's the weather? Oh, is that donut shop still there? Oh, my grandma lives two blocks from there, you know? And then, so about these bills, right? And it was just, each one worked in their own beautiful way. And it was because they were personalized and regionally appropriate. And so I would imagine that getting comfortable with these, this flow, you know, of ADA and talking to a patient is just going to be even more successful when it's geared for your personality, the personality of your practice, and of your region.
I'm honestly sad that this wasn't introduced to me as a student, because I feel like this is the best way that communication has been laid out that I've ever seen. It's almost like, I mean, acronyms are easy too, but I mean, it kind of almost gives you like an indirect visual, like, okay, I need to check off these boxes and I need to make these boxes become automatic, because this isn't something like in your head, you're like, okay, let me do the A and then let me do the I, you know, you know, like it really does make sense. It flows really, really well. And I love that. So let's end it with the thank you at the very end.
Yeah. So thank you again. A lot of these self-explanatory. Thank the person for coming in, you know, taking the time, you know, heartfelt, like let them know, hey, you know, and there's different ways you can do that, right? There's just the thank you for coming into my practice, but there's also the thank you for taking, you know, thank you for taking the opportunity to make your life and your health better. Like, nobody wants to go to the doctor, newsflash, like, you know, of any type. So it's like, you know, thanking somebody for actually being proactive about their health, trying to improve themselves, I think is a really important piece of it. And the one little spin that I'll give on the thank you is it's also an opportunity to transition. So that's a great opportunity then to thank the person and transition to the next person. Hey, I really want to thank you for coming in today. It's been awesome to get to know you. I think you're in the right place. You know, the plan we just talked about, I think is going to get you exactly where you want to go and back to do and insert those things that you love to do here. And I love working with people just like you who are interested in being proactive with their health. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to have, you know, Johnny, you know, our front desk team member, he's going to come in, make sure that you're all scheduled, and he's going to, you know, take care of everything over these next few minutes before you head out the door. So I'll see you in a couple of days, right? So there's a thank you, and then there's the transition to understand what's to come next.
Well, imagine loving a first visit with a doctor, like you hit A-I-D-E all perfectly, and then it's just done and the doctor moves on and you don't get this nice closure. You don't get that next step. I mean, you could enjoy that entire visit and then just feel completely lost and confused at the end. Like, okay, now what? So exactly. I like that you spin the transition on it because people want to know what that next step is. And generally, you know, visits after a first, if you have more than a first visit, are going to be pretty different than that first exam, first history. So yeah, I like the transition switch up. That's really nice.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell. That's it. You got it.
I love it. Easy enough, Jeff. So thanks so much. Before we wrap up this episode, the last thing I'm really curious about, I know you said you were introduced to this at one of your multidisciplinary clinics that you used to work for. How did they run this out to their team? How did they educate you guys about this? Was there some kind of training? Did they just kind of give it to you and say, here, run with it? How did they kind of expose you guys to it?
Like most things in large groups, there was expensive consultants involved. So, they probably spent like $50,000. They had somebody come in. I mean, I have stories for days, by the way. So, you know, I mean, this is, you know, the last group I was in, they'd spend $5 million a month in advertising. So,
oh, heavens.
You know, and we'd be involved, you know, so, you know, there's conversations for other days on here too, but there is, so, you know, basically they brought somebody in who is like, you know, certified in this. We went through like a multi-day training. There was multitudes of role playing, like, and these are some of the nuanced difference. Well, it's not really nuanced. These are the big differences actually between what I see in a lot of, you know, smaller chiropractic practices and a lot of the larger healthcare organizations, and not every, and there's dramatic, exceptions to this rule. Right. You know, but, but in general, it's like, it was a perfect, like, it was not like, you know, here's the, you know, like watch a video and good luck to you. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, here, like, here's the handout of like the doc got like, saw something this weekend. And now, you know, it's like every week, something new in the practice. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess we got to learn this like haphazardly. It was like, no, like everybody's going to go through this training. We're bringing in somebody. You're going to sit and listen for hours and hours about this. Then we're role playing to make, like, super uncomfortable, right? But it's like, then you go back and that's how you get good at it. Right?
But you saw the value, you saw the importance through that.
Exactly. Yeah. And the proof was ultimately in two items. And the two items were almost coming full circle to where we started. So from a business sense, conversions were higher. If you want to talk about people sitting in front of you for an examination and people paying you for services, just the reality of doing business, conversion was higher. But the second piece of that's always just like, that's like the first level. Like if you have trouble doing that, you got issues, right? But the next level and the important level to me is the patient satisfaction went up.
Huge.
So the patient status, not only were more people receiving care and more business was happening, more revenue was coming in, but the patient satisfaction also increased. So to me, that's the sign in one way of like a great business decision is if your revenues are increasing and your patient satisfaction's increasing, you're probably on the right track. If your patient satisfaction's increasing and your revenues are decreasing, you're making a bad business decision, and you've got to take a look at that, hard look at. And many chiropractors don't. And vice versa. If your revenues are going up, and your patient satisfaction's plummeting, you're walking out a short plank. That's going to catch up to you eventually, and you're going to struggle with referrals or reviews or all these other things. So it all comes together. But this, hopefully, everybody listening will, you know, use this at least as a mental note, if not a complete framework to kind of take it and run with it.
Oh, I think our listeners are going to love this. And we plan on, you know, dishing out some visuals for them to just kind of tap into it a little bit further if they want to. And I think everybody should. It's easy to do. And like you said, from a revenue and patient satisfaction standpoint, it makes perfect sense. So thank you so much for explaining all of this to us. I have loved having you on tonight on Better Doctor Project. As you know, I'm a huge fan of both of your podcasts. So thank you so, so much for being with us tonight, Dr. Jeff. We appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for doing it. I love it.
So straightforward and so simple. Where did you guys notice that you fell short? I personally have always felt like I do a pretty good job on new patient visits, but I found two areas where I know I can take this information and apply it to be even better. Maybe you learned some areas where you already excel. For me personally, I've always been really good at learning patients' family members and loved ones' names that are present with them at that visit. And I never forget them, even visits down the road. I've always done this just because I thought it was kind of the right thing to do. I mean, I practice in the Midwest after all. But after today's episode and learning about the 8-It formula, it's really shown me the value in doing so. So I hope you guys found something too. Like always, Dr. Jeff dominated this episode. So for more of his genius brain, check out the Evidence-Based Chiropractor and the Smart Chiropractor podcasts. Hey, thanks for listening. To learn more, find us on Instagram or Facebook at Better Doctor Project, or check out our website, betterdoctorproject.com. Don't forget to leave us a review and share us with a friend. It helps us reach more healthcare providers who are also striving to make an impact. Thanks again. See you next time.